Jeremiah 33. I'm going to read down from verse number 1 down to verse number 3. I'm sure you'll be familiar with it. The Bible here in Jeremiah 33 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Tonight, my message, I've given the simple title, God is Available. God is available. Oh, I hope that you'll listen tonight. Let's bow in a word of prayer. We'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your availability. Lord, thank you so very much. Dear God, the trustworthiness. Lord, your availability and your dependability. Lord, for years we've heard that availability is the greatest of all abilities. And Lord, I would say the close in second line to that would be dependability. And dear God, I thank you that you are both. Lord, you're available to us anytime we call upon you. Lord, you're dependable every time that we call upon you. And I pray that we would see that tonight, Lord. Please use the message. Dear God, I pray that for that one tonight that might be, Lord, just disheartened, discouraged, dear Lord, whatever it might be that would be running through their mind, Lord, just giving a heartache, dear God, a concern, a question mark. Lord, I pray that you would just help all of those to be dispelled here this evening as we see your availability. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll have you be seated. Now, as we come to Jeremiah 33, we would have to, in order to get a greater understanding of everything that's being spoken of here, and as Jeremiah, of course, the weeping prophet, the prophet that was that had such heartache in his life, and would help us to understand that things are not always a bed of roses. Amen? The Christian life is not that way. Many times have I cautioned individuals who recently have trusted Christ. And I've said, oh, could I tell you something now? I'll promise you, now that you're saved, boy, things seem so splendid. And by the way, they are. Everything is perfect for you right now. Your eternity is settled. There is a peace now in your heart that you never knew prior to salvation. And so now you've humbled yourself. You've received Christ as your Savior. And you're excited now. And I'm glad. Oh, but be understanding that the devil hates what you've just done. And he is going to cause every problem that would possibly come up. He's going to cause it in your life. He'll make the decisions much more difficult than they seemed to be before. Now you're looking with the discerning eye of the Scripture, with the living, breathing Word of God within your soul, the Holy Spirit now that bears witness to you. Now you've got the Holy Spirit that is chastening you at times, cautioning you at other times, communicating with you all the time as we pray. As we read Scripture, the Holy Spirit does business in our heart. And I'll tell them, and as I would say to you, be very careful. Because Satan will cause all kinds of difficulties. And we think about Jeremiah. We think about the heartache, as I say, that he had gone through. If you go back just a little bit here, go back to chapter number 32 there, Jeremiah. And we can see the prayer of Jeremiah. If you have a Bible that has a few notes in it, it might right above verse number 16, it might say that, the prayer of Jeremiah. It begins, "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Nera, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." We learn a pattern of prayer here from Jeremiah. As he begins and goes on, we'll not read all of it, but he gives God the glory over and over, and he reminds the Lord of things that he has done in the past. And I think that's a wonderful thing that we can do. And as we're praying, whether it be for ourselves, as we looked at this morning in Sunday school, or whether it be even better when we're praying for someone else, There's never a difficulty in reminding the great judge of things that have happened previous. In any courtroom, and understand our courtrooms, they used to teach and train attorneys with the scripture, with the Bible, because of the perfect law and the perfect judge that stands at the throne. And so they would use the Bible as a textbook. And so you think about that courtroom setting. And you have the attorney there, and of course you have the judge, and you have the defendant, you have the plaintiff, and the whole situation of the room, the jury, whether it's a jury trial by jury or not, and you begin to realize that they will use case law. Oh, sir, Your Honor, if you would, let me remind you of so-and-so versus such-and-such and the decision that was made in that particular case. It's important that we remember that. And so it's kind of the same thing as Jeremiah is reminding the Lord of things that he has done for others. And now he's asking again for the Lord to do something in his nation at that time. And he says, there's nothing too hard for thee. And in verse number 26, says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And of course, it goes on. We know that there is nothing too hard, too difficult for the Lord to do. But when we get back to 33, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time. I am grateful for the fact that God will come to us more than just once. I'm so thankful for the fact that sometimes, as we learned this morning, with repetition, sometimes we need to learn the lesson over again. Sometimes it didn't take the first time. In your elementary math class, when you began learning your times tables, and you'd recite them over and over, and every morning you would go over them again. I don't know if they still do that in schools or not. We would do that. We would rehearse them over again when we were learning all of the letters in cursive. I can remember Mrs. Toth, she had that great big long baton, and remember those green cards or whatever that would go across the top of the chalkboard. It's a couple of years shaking your head, yo. Yes, please don't tell me I'm the only one that old. And she would point to A, and you know, everyone would say A, and then B, and everyone would say B. And you know, you think how elementary. Well, absolutely, we were in elementary school. But it's the foundation. Oh, it was repetition over and over and over. And so I'm grateful that the Lord comes the second time to us. He says in verse number 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, what a promise that God made to us in Jeremiah 33. What a promise that he made. He is always available. He is always available. Would to God that we would be that way, that we would realize the character of God. You see, there are some attributes of God that we will never be able to obtain. I will never be omnipresent. Brother Doug, we were up at the camp, and he had one boy that wanted to go down to the little pond and was fishing. Another one at one particular time, as you can imagine, you know, these three little boys, all of them, you know, and one was up at the tent site and doing something else, and I forget where the third one was, and then there's Pastor. I think I was saying, hey, Brother Doug, let's go down here, and he's like, I'm trying to be in three places at one time, and I can't do that. And I said, sure you can. He said, no, I can't. And I said, yeah, we can saw off one leg, throw it up there, but I'll never be omnipresent. I can't do that. But yet there are some things that I can find that God has, some attributes, some characteristics of God I can have. Availability is one of them. God is available. So I can learn from that, and I can say, to the best of my ability, I want to be available. Oh, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There is never a time that God is not available. I'm going to ask you to go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, please. I want to turn to quite a few scriptures this evening in our message. Ephesians 2. I want to read just a few verses here. Ephesians 2. And if you go down to verse number 14, we kind of jump into the middle of it here. Of course, we know in verses 8 and 9, we're, for by grace he is saved through faith, and the not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He goes on, talks about the fact that we are his workmanship, his creation. In verse number 11, it says, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, understand, the church in Ephesus, it was a Gentile area. It was not Jewish. And so now Paul is having the opportunity. Not only did he get to plant that church in Ephesus and leave Timothy as a preacher for that city, but now he is saying, listen, there was a difference at one point. You're Gentiles. You are not part of the commonwealth of Israel. You're strangers from the covenant of promise. You had no hope and without God in the world. But now, in verse 13, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. So even though there was a great gulf between the Israelites and the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are always referred to in the New Testament as the unsaved, those who don't know Christ, and there was that great gulf, there was such a division between the two. But now it says, because of the blood of Christ, you're able to be nigh. You're close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're bought with a price. Amen. In verse 14, it says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. The Gentile was without hope. They didn't know God. They knew of a God. And they had their markers to the unknown God. Markers, I'll just say that. But they knew that there was something. They knew that there was a God, but they couldn't put their thumb on it. And I love as Paul said, I'll tell you about him, the unknown God that you speak of, that you have that heart desire to worship. I'll tell you about him. And boy, praise the Lord, he did. And so now we find here that the wall is broken down between the Jew and the Gentile because of the blood of Christ, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. It amazes me still that there are people who will say that they believe the scripture, that they believe the Bible, that they must never have read a verse like verse number 15, where it talks here, speaking about Christ, and having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He abolished them. I am not to look to the commandments and find my salvation there. I am not to look to the ordinances and find my salvation there. As Baptists, we have two ordinances. We have baptism that was ordained by God, by Jesus Christ himself. We also have the Lord's Supper 1 week from tonight. We'll partake of that. Again, ordained by God. Ordinances. They were ordained by Jesus Christ himself. But the ordinances that were established with God, between God and Adam, or God and David, those were abolished. God and Moses, they were abolished. All of those sacrifices no longer. As Paul is writing to them, trying to be as clear as he possibly can be, Jesus Christ has removed the Gentile, knew nothing of the ordinances. The Gentile knew nothing of the sacrifices. The Gentile had a burning heart's desire to know this unknown God that the Jews knew, but now after Christ having rejected, they know them no longer. just as much as the Jew or as the Gentile didn't know. They trust Christ just like you and I. That's the only way they can get to heaven, just the same way that you get there or I get there. And if we go on verse number 16, by the way, the end of verse number 15, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So here we have a new man that is being spoken of here. Before Christ, my mind isn't able to give me the verse. I am a new man in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When I got saved, it created in me a new man. The old man I should leave at the door. The old man I should bury and never try to revive him again. That's the difficulty of the Christian life. We try to drag the old man along with us. We're a new creature in Christ. And so through Christ Jesus, the barrier was broken down between the Jew and the Gentile. And now, praise God, God creates between these two, he creates that new individual, the born again believer. So making peace. I can't have peace without Christ. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body on the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Those who had the understanding of Jehovah God, the Jew, and those who were afar off, having a heart's desire to know God, but didn't know how to get there, the Gentile. And so not only is the peace brought in, but in verse number 17, that peace that was preached to you who were afar off and to them who were nigh, for through him, verse 18, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Amen. Amen. The Jew has no different access than you or I have. I have no different access than the Jew would have. We all go to the Father by Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. There is no other way. There is no other way. And so Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, gives us now access to the Father. You see, God is available. He is available. In verse number 18, for through him we both have access. Well, I have access to God. So many times I've wondered, as I've preached before, that you think back to the time of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ, and maybe you were one of those Jewish men or Jewish women, and you happen to be in and around the tabernacle, and you're in the first part of the tabernacle. The area around you, of course, isn't seen by those who would be outside the wall, and as you're looking toward the Holy of Holies and the heavy curtain that was draped there to keep out anyone other than the high priest that one time a year. And at the crucifixion of Christ, it was rent in twain. And now for the first time, anyone could see into the Holy of Holies. And how they must have hidden their eyes and thought, I can't look. They knew. They weren't allowed. That was where God tabernacled with mankind. At the altar. And now they were able to look in. And you can imagine they see it and they hide their eyes. Maybe they shield their child and they're waiting for death to come, but it doesn't come, and they're still breathing, and they begin to realize that something is different. And maybe they hazard a quick glance and look away again. And after a short amount of time, someone realizes, hey, we can look in. I wonder who the first man that would have had the courage to actually have walked and step inside of the Holy of Holies, and everyone watching in fear that he was going to be struck dead. And he didn't fall down dead. And he's able to walk in and around because now we have access through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now he tabernacles with us individually. He meets with us. His tabernacle place now is my soul. Oh, I'm grateful for that. We have access. Oh, I can hear the critics now saying that God is dead. Christ is dead. And we are wasting our time, they would say. Well, I've been told before, very point blank, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. When I was a youth pastor, I had a man that sat right across from me in the cubicle right next to me. And Jim would say, you're wasting your time with those children, with those young people, with those teenagers. You're wasting your time with them. I beg to differ. Oh, I beg to differ. I promise you. even the one that I love so dearly and had a quick chance to talk to him on the phone when I was out in California, who told me point blank, yes, I am just waiting for the point where I can walk out on God. Told me point blank to my face as we were out soul winning, as the teenage soul winning. And we were getting ready. We walked up the stairs of the apartment, and we were getting ready to knock on the door. And I looked at him and said, is there an opportunity that you're leaving yourself one day to just literally walk out on God, never come back? He said, yep. I said, oh, Aaron, you wouldn't do that. Oh, that you wouldn't do that. And I watched as he did. And for a brief time, he came back to the church, realized what he had done after many years running away from the Lord, only then just to return back to what his flesh loved and desired. Oh, I believe that there are those that will say we're wasting our time. What I'm getting at is this. Even as I spoke to him on the phone, and I said, Aaron, I want you to know I love you. He said, I love you too, Pastor Meredith. That's what they would always call me many, many days ago. He said, I love you too, Pastor Meredith. And I said, oh, Aaron, that you would get right with the Lord and that you would come back to church. He said, oh, there are so many things. He can't even see a way back to God. Even if he wanted to, he can't see a way back. You say, well, that was a waste of your time. No, no. It wasn't a waste of my time. Amen. He knows there is a way back. Amen. He can't see it. But he knows. He knows that there is a former youth pastor that loves him dearly and would love to see him walk with the Lord again. He'll never forget that. It will never leave him. It will never leave him. Oh, they say that we're wasting our time. God is not dead. I would say I fully and strongly disagree. In John chapter 1, verse number 18, it says, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten of the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So we've got a verse like that no one has seen God. We've seen Jesus Christ. We're told about those who walked and talked and put their hands, the very prints of Jesus, in the nail-scarred hands. But we've never seen him. I've never seen him. No man has seen God. One opportunity as he passed by and held his eyes and watched as God walked by, but no one has seen God. So then dissenting voice would say, how do you know that there is God? How do you know he even exists, let alone he is available? Well, let me read to you out of Hebrews 11, verse number 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, then he is available. And he cannot reward you if he isn't available. But he is a rewarder. He is available. I think back to the verse that we opened with, Jeremiah 33, call unto me, and I will answer thee. The same critics that say that God is dead and that Christ Jesus is dead would say that Jeremiah is Old Testament, as we read Jeremiah 33:3. Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, how comforting it is to know and hear the psalmist David say, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. I'm reading here from Psalm 4, verses 1 and 3. Hear me when I call. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call him. Amen. Oh, he is available. we didn't sing it tonight, but the songwriter put it so perfectly in the song. Just when I need Him most, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear. Ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need Him most. Oh, it goes on with the chorus. Just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need Him most. Oh, I love how we've got songs that will speak about the doctrine of God. That He is available in the times that I need Him. Oh, the times that I need Him most. Jesus is near. I've got four simple things I want you to write down if you're taking notes. I want you to write, number one, in turmoil, His peace is available. In turmoil, His peace is available. Go over to Philippians chapter number 4. You're in Ephesians, go to Philippians chapter 4. Look here at a couple of verses. Ephesians 4, let's go back to verse number 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Praise the Lord, they're saved. Their name is in the book of life. They were good, godly individuals, men and women. They helped me, and Paul's remembering them. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Now we get over verse number 5, where it says, let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. See, now we're not to be full of care about anything in this world. Nothing in this world. We sat around the campfire and I asked the men and the boys, what is there, maybe their life verse or a favorite verse? And some gave the 23rd Psalm. Some gave verses out of Old Testament Scripture, some out of New Testament Scripture. And I closed it all. I said, I'm sure you all know, I've said it many times, 2 Timothy 2, verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You see, I think about that. When I read here, rejoice in the Lord, or I'm sorry, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, there it is, verse 6, be careful for nothing. Let's not be full of care about anything in this world. When we're full of care about the woes in this world, or about the wonderful days in this world, when we're so full of care about them, we're going to forget about God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is no one who escapes turmoil. It will find you. It's going to find you. Boys, turmoil will find you. You young girls, turmoil will find you. Adults, I'm sure you've gone through it. You understand. Turmoil is going to find us. So when we read, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, we realize that in turmoil, His peace is available. How you handle your problems by day will determine how you sleep by night. How do you handle your problems by day? I'm sure you've got problems. I'm sure you have turmoil. I'm sure you have struggle. For the one who's running from God, your turmoil is, I know I've been trained right. I know I've been taught right. I know this is not how God expects me to live. And there's a turmoil inside of you. You know Christ is your Savior. You carry the Holy Spirit everywhere you go. And the Holy Spirit is doing battle with your soul, with your spirit, and trying to convince you the truth of God's Word. And there's a turmoil inside. You'll never escape it. Do you keep your problems to yourself? Can you deal with them better than God can? Can you deal with your turmoil better than God? How much peace has that brought to you? Well, I'll deal with it myself. I got myself in this hole, I'll get myself out. Well, you may very well have gotten yourself in that hole. But you'll try to use the same shovel that you used to dig the hole to try to get yourself out, and it's not going to work. So how will you, how do you deal with it? Do you try to take it all upon yourself? And so I ask you, how is that going? As the man that I spoke to, and his birthday was up and coming, and I looked at him and I said, listen, you've made a miserable life for yourself. He said, I know I have. I said, what makes you think that you're going to do any better from here on out? Oh, would you turn to the Lord? I asked him, I begged him. Oh, would you allow God to take and lead you? Like I said this morning, I don't know everything, but I know what works. I know what God's looking for. I know how He's expecting us in Scripture to line up with Him. Let me read you some verses in John 14, verse number 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Isaiah 26 and verse number 12, it says, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. The Lord has an abundant supply of peace. And it's available. Boy, the availability of God. He has available peace that is there for the asking. I look at the second point, if you'll write this down. In weakness, His power is available. In weakness, His power is available. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9 said, and He, that's talking about Jesus, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness, as Paul wrote that. And then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In weakness, His power is available. Oh, you see, we're so weak. We are so weak. When we are weak, Christ is strong and He strengthens us. When we can't face another day, the job, He can give me the strength. When we can't speak to those who maybe antagonize us, He'll give me the strength to answer softly. When I can't see how I can possibly get through another day alone, when you can't see how you can possibly get through another day all by yourself, His power, His grace is sufficient. And you can get through another day. You can get through those lonely days. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I'm grateful that His grace, as we've talked about it, for several weeks now in Sunday school. I am grateful for His grace. Not only did it save me, oh, but it teaches me. It revives me, as we saw this morning. I am thankful that His grace does so much for the born-again believer. I want you to take your Bible, go over to Isaiah chapter 40. Turn to Isaiah. Hold your hand here in Philippians. We're going to be back close to it. Go over to Isaiah 40. In Isaiah 40, look here at a couple of verses. Let's go down to verse number 29, the very end of the chapter. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How is your waiting on the Lord? You say, I'm so tired. How much have you been waiting on the Lord? Oh, we can say, how patient have you been with the Lord? But how much have you actually been waiting on Him, working for Him, working in His field, taking time to say, all right, Lord, what is my next direction? What do you want me to do? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh Lord, I need my strength renewed. I am just too tired to do something more for God. Well, maybe if we decided I could do more for the Lord, He'd give us more strength. Amen. And what a blessing that would be. Go back over where we were there in Philippians. Go to Ephesians chapter number 3 again. Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians 3, verses 16 and 17. Verse number 13. Let's start there. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Oh, the inner man, that even though it fails us every day, we are renewed every morning. And I thank the Lord, I can't put my mind, my eye on it. There's a verse that teaches us that even though our outward man perish, our inner man is renewed day by day. Because you see, in weakness, his power is available to me. The third thing I'm going to ask you to write down. We said first, in turmoil, his peace is available. Secondly, in weakness, his power is available. Third, in uncertainty, his plan is available. In uncertainty, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to turn. His plan is available. In James, it says in verse number 5 of chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When is the last time you said, Lord, what is your plan? I don't know what to do. Maybe you have dreams and goals and the lofty ideas, and maybe they're all well and good and well-intended, but when is the last time you bowed your head and you said, Lord, these are all my plans. But Lord, what's your plan? What is your plan for my life? Maybe, Lord, maybe you have a different plan for me than what I have for me. Lord, would you be very clear now? Would you show me? You see, God has a definite plan for your life. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe, Brother Dale, that was the verse that you had said that around the campfire that you enjoy, that you loved so much. If we just think to ourselves, let's trust in the Lord. And he gave a little bit of description as to his own life. And I'm sure that there are times I would pray. That there are times in your life that you realize, you know what? God did give me some very clear direction at one point. What about now? God didn't just have just that one area and nothing more. No, there's something the Lord wants for us. Oh, that we would say, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? The last thing I'm going to have you write down is the fourth. In bondage, his pardon is available. In bondage, his pardon is available. I wonder how many have been in bondage. Bondage to sin. The world will get such a tight grasp upon us. The sickness of this world will take us so quickly. In Isaiah 55, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'm thankful for every born-again believer who at one point strayed in their life. I'm thankful for, even though they strayed, the times when we can say, well, praise the Lord, they came back to Christ. They came back to God. There are enough. There are multitudes who got saved and then allowed something that happened in their life. It might have been a preacher. Oh, and I'm sorry. It might have been a church. And oh, I'm sorry. It might have been another born again believer. And I'm sorry. Someone failed you. I'm sorry. But you see, God is available. We look at that, someone who had turned away from the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful when they come home. I'm thankful for the prodigal son. Oh, I'm thankful for the son that would stay right there and serve beside dad. But I'm just as thankful for the prodigal son. Oh, we don't need to take our shoes off and show everyone how dirty our feet are. We understand that we walk through the sickness and the filth of this world. We don't need someone to stand and say, well, praise God, the Lord took me. And then it might be in a particular setting the illustration is given as to what you had gone through and what God has delivered you out of. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't need to be rehearsed every single time you talk to someone. You can just say, I strayed, I wandered far from God. And boy, thank the Lord I came home. Because you see, His pardon is available to those who have been in bondage. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, it says, for He has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation, I have secured thee, or I've given thee aid or relief is what that means. I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What prisoner being held in bondage for crimes which he committed and justly was put into prison? What prisoner willingly remains in bondage when a pardon is granted to them? Well, I've heard of many that want to get out of prison. Oh, I want to get out. I want to get out. I remember in a service one time, and a dear gentleman, and I believe he had the hearts, his heart was right. He had a prison ministry, and he said, "Oh, we need to pray for so and so. He committed crime, and I forget. I believe he talked about the different crime, very very grievous against society. But he got saved in prison, and oh, he wants to live for the Lord. Let's pray that he is released." And I remember thinking, he committed crime. I'm thankful that God doesn't look at me like I looked at that man. Should he have been let out of prison? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But I'm thankful that God doesn't look at me and say, oh, no, 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 no. You deserve your punishment. Oh, I do. But I'm grateful that I have a God that says, I will pardon you anyway. I'll pardon you anyway. We're there in Ephesians. Go over to Galatians chapter number 4. We're almost finished. Galatians 4. Look at verse number 9. Galatians 4, verse number 9, it says, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You're looking to be in bondage again? You were saved from that. Why are you trying to run back to it? Go over to chapter 5 and verse number 1. It says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Oh, why are we looking for bondage again? The supreme judge, God Himself, is extending His pardon. Oh, I know He pardoned you the day that you got saved. But what about since then? Have you asked God for that pardon? Have you run to the Lord as 1 John tells us that we should? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When is the last time you have gone to the Lord and you said, Lord, I'm a slave to this sin. And you know what sin it is. You know the weight that does so easily beset you. You don't have to tell everyone. You may have everyone else fooled, but you don't have God fooled. And you don't have yourself fooled. You can live a lie, but when you're honest with yourself, you realize you've been living that lie for far too long. And you've been a slave, a prisoner. You've been in bondage to what the world tells you that you're supposed to be. Oh, I'm thankful that His pardon is available. Oh, would you take Him up on that? Let's have a word of prayer. We'll close. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, I do pray, Lord, for everyone here. Dear God, it doesn't matter, Lord, whether it's someone who is in turmoil, Lord, someone who is weak, Lord, someone who is uncertain about your path, or Lord, whether it's someone who is in bondage to sin, a slave to the sin of this world. Lord, I'm grateful that everything that we need is available. It's through the power of God. Lord, I pray tonight for everyone who's here. Lord, it might be that someone here this evening needed to hear a message that would wake them up and help them to realize that I'm trying to do this by myself, but the power is available from God. I'm trying to get through my struggle, my turmoil by myself, but oh, there's peace that I know I can have from God. Tonight, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands tonight, but I will ask you the question. What is it that you need from God? What part of His availability? You can't tell me this evening that you don't need anything from God. You can't tell me that. We all need something from Him right now. But what is it? Is it His peace that you need? Is it His power? Is it His plan? Is it His pardon? Oh, would you ask the Lord? Would you ask? He's available tonight. Would you ask Him, say, "Dear Lord, I need Your pardon, or I need Your peace. Lord, I need Your plan. Oh, I need Your plan." I'm going to ask the piano to begin playing. Would you stand this evening?